Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in live nationwide and around the world to Ron Segi Today. We have a special theme show for this week. Coming up on Wednesday, August 16th, will mark the 46th anniversary of the passing of Elvis Presley. And our first guest is author Sally Hodell, who's penned a book called Destined to Die Young. You got to hear this interview. Later on, the captain of the Lisa Marie with also a new book, which is called From Iowa to Elvis. And then next hour, we're going to be talking to Hal Lansky, who was the man who really was responsible for the clothes that Elvis wore early on in his career. Julian Garr's got a book out, 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Do Before They Die. And then we have, of course, our lifestyle segment. And that's all coming up this week with Ron Segi Today, and I'll be right back with Sally Hodell. Live nationwide and around the world, you're listening to Ron Segi Today, and that voice needs no introduction. Coming up this Wednesday, August 16th, Elvis Presley has been gone 46 years. And our next guest has been on the show with us in the past, but we didn't spend as much time as I wanted because of a time element, and we have brought her back on this weekend that we are remembering the King, and the name of the book is Destined to Die Young. And I have to tell you something. I was in Elvis's company many times, and she's hit it right on the nose. This book and what's contained in it should have been out a long time ago because it really tells the backstory of how a lot of people around the world thought Elvis died. Joining us right now is Sally Hodell. Hi, Sally. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us again. I know you've been on a crazy schedule and that you're going to be in Graceland this weekend signing books along with our mutual friend Ron Strauss, who, of course, was the pilot of the Lisa Marie, and thank you for getting us together. Sally, this book, as I mentioned in the introduction, is really a book that sheds new light on the passing of Elvis. I happened to see a clip of Charlie Hodge recently. Of course, we lost him a few years ago. Explaining a lot of the reasons why Elvis Presley was on medicated drugs. And you outlined that in this book. It's great how you do it because you talked about the fact that a lot, if not the majority, of the reasons that he, by birth, had inherited a lot of problems was the reason he was taking drugs to get rid of the pain. Tell us a little about it, because it included glaucoma, liver, an enlarged heart, COPD, arthritis, urinary tract infection, a megacolon, a twisted colon. There's hypertension. There was a lot of issues that he was born with.
Absolutely. You know, Elvis's story is always told as one of self-destruction. And what we know from studying these health issues and really the root of them, you know, many of them are genetic in nature, that his story is absolutely one of survival and not self-destruction. You know, first survival through extreme poverty and then extreme fame. And then he was dealing with all these health issues that, you know, some of them they were aware of, some of them they weren't. You know, like an immune system disorder, they wouldn't have known how to treat that in the 70s, obviously. Today they're still difficult to treat, right? But by the time Elvis passes in 1977, and he has disease or disorder in 9 of the 11 systems of the body, and many of which you just mentioned. And they have been dismissed for decades as the end result of the prescription medication. And what the research shows is that at least 5 of those 9 were present prior to fame. There's evidence, there's testimony of them, most likely since birth. Like I said, they are genetic in nature. His maternal grandparents, Elvis's maternal grandparents, were first cousins. And that doubling of the gene pool, so to speak, created a lot of issues. And, you know, for me as a lifelong fan, even as a girl reading these books and studying Elvis and learning, I always wondered, why does he die in a similar way, similar age as his mother? You know, they both kind of suffer this 4-year period of degenerative health. And this really answers that question of why. They both had the same flawed genetic material because of that first cousin marriage, which we really see, the implications in Gladys, his mother, and then she has three brothers who die, you know, age 46, 49, 58. Gladys passes at 46, all liver, heart, related issues, and then when it happens to Elvis, it stops being a coincidence because there's just so much evidence of it in the family tree.
As I told you before, Joe Esposito and I were very, very close. In fact, we were partners on several ventures, and he would always tell me that it goes beyond what you read in the newspaper because of these issues that, in some cases, he didn't even know of. Because, you know, when you're a rock and roll star or anything, you're in the public eye, the last thing you want to have anybody know is that you have some kind of a problem with your colon. And in fact, it was even, I guess, suggested to him one time to have a colostomy, which, of course, in the mid-70s, and I have a member of my family that was posed that question, it was crazy. I mean, you know, you're not going to put a jumpsuit on and have this thing connected to yourself. Resection was a possibility. He didn't want to do that, but he did have a toxic colon, which created an enormous uncomfortable situation, and you didn't want to discuss that with even the closest member, let alone your employees or the general public or the media.
Absolutely. You know, today we talk about health in a much more open way, right? There's celebrity endorsement for yogurt that helps your digestive system on TV all the time, but it certainly wasn't like that back in the day, and it certainly wasn't like that for men in the 70s. You know, Elvis was the head of that organization. He was, you know, people will say, well, the Memphis Mafia didn't talk about him being sick all the time. Well, he didn't talk to them about it, most likely, because he had to be that strong male. He had to be the boss. You know, there is a lot of that. And again, the colon problem in particular, always written off because the prescription medication absolutely would have slowed down his digestive system. But there is testimony of him having this problem in Lauderdale Court, so in the high school years. And then we have Annie Presley now on record, who was very close with Gladys when Elvis was growing up. And it was a problem from birth, that Gladys struggled with Elvis and constipation and all of that from the time he was born and as a toddler. So we know it was a lifelong problem. And we also know it caused a lot of pain for Elvis long before we really see the effects of it, you know, because in the late 70s, we see the bloated stomach and all of that. But as early as, I believe, 1971, he writes his TCB oath. And in that oath, he talks about a variety of things. But one of the last things he says is freedom from constipation and the pain associated with it. So if we think of 71 as Elvis the way it is and how, you know, dynamic he is in that concert performance, so active in comparison to even Aloha in 73, where he really doesn't move very much, he was experiencing that pain even in 71, and it becomes a problem, and we see it in his performances as he becomes, you know, less active, really, on stage.
And the early to mid-70s, there was no such thing as an MRI to detect this. Again, someone in my family suffers from Crohn's disease, and all of the symptoms that you're talking about in the book is very similar to Crohn's disease.
Absolutely, and they wouldn't have identified that back then.
No.
They certainly, like you said, they didn't have an MRI yet. They didn't have a CAT scan yet. They were relying on x-rays. Multiple people said, including Dr. Nick, that they didn't know how bad it was until the autopsy. Yeah. So they really didn't know what they were dealing with. There's all sorts of inflammation issues related to Elvis, you know, from the colon problem, but then through his immune system issue, we know he suffered from something called hypogammaglobulinemia, which means his immune system couldn't fight infection. So he was routinely sick and often had fevers and struggled with those kinds of things. And again, you know, the stories were always, well, Elvis is pretending to be sick to get more medication, but he really was sick and his body couldn't fight infection. So the inflammation that would have come from that problem, in addition to the inflammation that would have been created by the digestive issue, you know, which we all know, we understand inflammation now in a way that we didn't before.
Right.
When Elvis talks about how he had pain all over his body, he absolutely would have. He would have been in tremendous pain just from the inflammation, the arthritic pain it would have created, and things like that.
And a young man getting glaucoma in his mid-30s was unusual, and you say arthritis. I mean, it's not that these things don't take place in the young, but he certainly didn't look like the type of person that would be stricken with something that would debilitate him as it did. And if somebody's listening to the show right now, they're going to say, some people will say, why are you talking about this? Why are you saying this? Because, you know, let the poor guy rest in peace and quit talking about something that was very private in his life. Why would you talk about it after he's gone? The very simple reason is to defend the reason that possibly people may have about him being an all-and-out drug addict, because the medication he was taking was for ailments that people didn't even know he had when he was alive.
Absolutely. I mean, it changes his entire story, again, from one of self-destruction to survival, which is unbelievable, because Elvis' story is already incredible, right? His rise to fame from the type of poverty that he grew up in is unbelievable. The way he culturally shifted the universe is remarkable. You know, I always talk a lot about how I want Elvis to be thought of as a historical figure, because he culturally shifted the universe in the same kind of impact as a Henry Ford or a Thomas Edison in terms of changing things radically, but he did it in a cultural way. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to look at him as a historical figure, we need to get away from this idea of, you know, oh, Elvis took too many pills and died in the bathroom, because unfortunately for young people, that might be all they know. Okay. So if we can talk about his contributions more, that's number one. But number two, if we can explain, again, his demise as one of survival, you know, it is really important. It does impact his legacy. It does affect how he's remembered. And he did. He suffered through a lot of disease and disorder. And yes, he turned to the medication. And yes, the medication becomes a problem at times. You know, we also have to understand the limitation of some of that medication in the 1970s. They didn't have Lunesta and Ambien, for example, just to treat something like insomnia. So they're giving him much stronger things that have tolerance issues and addiction issues. You know, all of that is a very real problem, too. But at the heart of it, Elvis was a very sick man. And I think it's an incredibly important layer of his story.
I do, too. We're going to pause for a second. My very special guest is my friend, Sally Hodell. The name of the book is Destined to Die Young, the backstory of Elvis Presley and the reason he passed away at such a young age. Sally and I will be right back with another segment. As we remember Elvis Presley, this Wednesday, August 16th, will mark 46 years since his passing.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel.
Doug Steffen here, calling all travelers. How many of you have ever been to Las Vegas? How many of you would love to go to Las Vegas? How about going to Las Vegas two nights free? I have your attention, so right now be one of the first 10 callers right this minute to call 800-419-3684. Two free nights in Las Vegas. That's it. First 10 callers, get on board. Two free nights in Las Vegas. This is the easiest thing ever, right? First 10 callers to call 800-419-DOUG. And two nights in fabulous Las Vegas is yours, no questions. You don't need to be caller 29. You can be in the first group of 10 or a dozen, and you're on board. 800-419-DOUG. 800-419-3684. We've traveled the world to find a good deal. You've got it now. With 541 Travels and the Doug Steffen Good Day Program. 800-419-DOUG. When you go to TopLoss.com, the website for Calitrin, and you decide you want to get some advice from a counselor, you may end up connecting with the lovely and talented Elizabeth Miller. So, under the circumstances, how did the doctor and the nurses that put this formula together, they wake up one morning and said, you know what? Collagen protein, yes.
Well, it started out with collagen protein. So it was created by nurses who were using it to help customers with their joint pain and their joint issues. And then they noticed that, you know, if you were taking it at bedtime, it was helping with sleep too. But then they noticed that people were losing weight. They were having more energy. Metabolisms were boosted. You know, people were like, wow, this is really actually helping me feel better, lose weight.
All right, let's talk about the deal.
Right now, we've got a Christmas in July sale. So we've got discounts on every single month of Calitrin. Plus, we've got our unlimited buy three, get three free. So whether you've got 5 pounds to lose or 135 pounds, we can help you do it, and you can save big on this sale.
Check it out at TopLoss.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
But I can't help falling in love with you.
We're back live nationwide and around the world. We are now recognizing this weekend Elvis Presley. This Wednesday marks 46th year of the passing, most likely the biggest star ever in the entertainment world, dying at 42. He's been gone longer than he was with us. Our special guest is my friend Sally Hodel. She's got a brand new book out called Destined to Die Young. It's the backstory of Elvis and why he probably died back in August of 1977. And she's this weekend at Graceland signing that book. If you get a chance to get it. It's a remarkable book. It does really tell the story of Elvis's terrible inherited ailments that he tried to correct medically, which ultimately got him hooked on the medication. Sally, one of the things that they say happened was that he had, and I'm not probably going to pronounce this right, Reiter's syndrome?
Yeah, that is one possibility. It's all correlated to the immune system and his eye trouble, right? Because the glaucoma and the swelling, and it's all correlated. You know, Dr. Nick identified some of these things in his book, but he really didn't talk about how they can snowball, how one thing leads to the next. And that's really what this book does, is it draws those lines and connects those things. A lot of it is genetic in nature, like we're talking about. Inflammation is an issue. And again, a lot of these things, like the glaucoma that you mentioned, they are geriatric in nature. So it was very bizarre for Elvis to have these things at such a young age. You know, he has glaucoma by 38. You know, the other issue that Elvis has is adrenal glands. It is impossible to function without your adrenal glands. They did do some supplementing and trying to correct that, but we now know how important the adrenal glands are in a way they didn't back then. And that's why I say without the medication, there's no way Elvis could have been Elvis those last couple of years.
You know, all of the bad things that happened to Dr. Nick after his death, really, after you read this book, you see that he really didn't have much of a choice. Esposito used to tell me, hey, Ron, you know, when he wanted something, if you didn't give it to him, he'd just get it someplace else, whether it was drugs or cars or a guitar that he wanted. In the book, there is a drug protocol on tour. I won't run down the whole thing, but it tells what happens at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an hour before performance, moments before the performance, immediately after performance, bedtime, if needed. In the beginning, first, you have a voice shot, vitamins, meds for dizziness, a laxative, 3 appetite suppressants, testosterone. And that's what is fascinating about it, because he always talked about, and not necessarily him, but the people around him said about enormous pressure put on him from touring. Now, Sally, I know he did a lot of shows, and I know they really bled him really pretty good in Vegas, even 3 shows a day, which is unheard of. But when you look at other entertainers at the time, they were on the road more often. The concerts that they did actually on stage without the warm-up act and everything like he had with the Sweet Inspirations, and the travel arrangements that he had versus being on a bus, you know, he had his own airplane, or he had it relatively easy. He didn't have to go in for a sound check, nothing. Why was it considered such a pressing schedule for him? Because when you compare it to other rock and roll bands at the time, not only groups, but individual singers, I mean, Willie Nelson lives on the road in a bus in a very, very archaic fashion. Why was that considered such stress? Because of all the entertainers at that time, I think he had the best deal of all of them.
In some ways, because like you're saying, the travel is top-notch, right? Worked out to a T, and it's a very well-oiled machine, especially when the Lisa Marie, the airplane, gets involved, right? Because touring just, it happens like clockwork. But it was a grueling schedule. Like when he plays Vegas there, you know, especially in the first several years, he's playing 2 shows a night for 30 days. 60 shows in 30 days. That's very strenuous, and then it's incredibly strenuous for someone like Elvis, who has all these health issues. So we know that he takes more medication when he's touring versus when he's not. We know that, you know, especially those last couple of years, you can look at those tours beginning and he does okay for the first couple of weeks, and then it starts to go downhill, and it's really the wear and tear on his body and the fact that his body can't handle it. And, you know, the same was true in the 1950s when he's crisscrossing the South, you know, 54, 55, and beginning of 56, I believe it's 55 that he collapses, mm-hmm. you know, after one of the shows, and extreme exhaustion. So I think those movie years really saved him in a lot of ways, because there was routine and structure to his schedule, because when he is on the road, It is so hard on his failing immune system, on the digestive issues. Touring is hard work, and it is hard on the body. Bands in the 70s were touring. Well, people like Ozzy Osbourne, you know, were touring like crazy, and they were doing serious drugs and drinking a ton, and they lived to tell. And here Elvis was taking prescription medication, and he dies at 42.
Yeah.
So, again, it's just one of those red flags that clearly there was much more wrong with Elvis, you know, than just what he was taking.
When you did a show like Elvis, you know, if you were Perry Como, you could do 10 shows a day and never get out of breath. But certainly Elvis's dynamic stage shows were very difficult to do because of the energy there. So totally understand that. And I know after the Aloha from Hawaii show, he was pretty depleted from energy after only going on a diet with only 500 calories a day. Death, they say, would have come slowly if it was an OD. You have in the book that he would have probably started to faint, being able to maybe recoup, organize himself instead of being found the way he was. That's why probably his heart attack was quick. And of course, the Valsalva technique added to it.
Even the medication he was taking for a reason is going to be hard on your body over time. But there is no evidence of his death being an overdose death at all. It was a very quick heart-related issue. If you die of an overdose, it's a slower death. Heart-related event, which caused him to stand up and fall forward, and he died rather quickly. Cardiac arrhythmia, you can debate what might have caused that. About the Valsalva maneuver, which is when you're straining, whether it's in childbirth or it's an issue with scuba diving, and certainly if you're in the bathroom, and that can change the pressure, you know, the blood pressure rather radically, and it can create cardiac arrhythmia, and it can lead to your death. And since we know he had genetic heart disease in his family, and we know that there was this liver-related issue, you know, all of that is at play.
He would have died probably around that age anyway, because these ailments went unaddressed, were not able to be cured. Certainly, the inability to correct the intestinal problem, the enlarged heart, the fatty liver, which, of course, Tylenol can give you, he probably would have died anyway if he didn't have these other problems corrected.
I think so, because when you look at this family tree and you see his mother, 46, his uncle, 58, another uncle, 49, another uncle, 46, and they all suffer from the same type of ailments that Elvis suffers from. So I think he would have passed young anyways, because it's such a delicate topic, but also because it's Elvis Presley. I wanted to make sure that he got that level of journalistic integrity with this project.
And you did it too. Sally, if we're not at Graceland getting a signed copy, now I happen to have, ladies and gentlemen, a signed copy, okay? So, you know, I don't even have to go to Graceland to get this. But where can you get the book, Sally?
Absolutely. All the copies ordered from my website will be signed, and that's elvisauthor.com. And, of course, it's also on Amazon if that's easier for people. But those books are not signed.
And I can't wait till you come down here to Florida and we can break bread together and possibly be joined by Ron Strauss, who is the other book that Sally was responsible for. And he's coming up on our show on this hour, and he was the pilot of the Lisa Marie. Sally, thanks for joining us, and I look forward to your return and seeing you soon.
Thank you so much. Let's make that happen. Appreciate it.
This weekend, remembering the King of Rock and Roll, coming up this Wednesday, August 16th, marks the 46th anniversary of the passing of Elvis Presley. And coming up after the break, we'll be talking to Ron Strauss, the pilot of the Lisa Marie.
Joining us now for a regular visit. She is a regular visitor, always welcome, because she always has that bright, uplifting overview. And maybe that's because she had success at a point in her past. She decided she wanted to lose some weight, and she found out about this product called Calitrin. So now Elizabeth Miller is happy to tell you she lost 40 pounds on it. Now, okay, Elizabeth, can I take Calitrin if I'm on a heart medication?
Always, yes. We actually have doctors who recommend it, heart doctors who recommend it. We've even got doctors who take it, doctors, nurses.
All right, let's talk about the deal right now. You go to toploss.com, which is the website for Calitrin. What can we expect if we decide we want to buy a 90-day supply?
Right now, we've got a Christmas in July sale, so we've got discounts on every single month of Calitrin, plus we've got our unlimited buy three, get three free. So whether you've got 5 pounds to lose or 135 pounds, we can help you do it, and you can save big on this sale.
Check it out at toploss.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart a birth certificate, and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
USA News Update. A Georgia grand jury is expected to begin hearing the case against former President Trump as early as Monday. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution says former Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan confirmed that he is scheduled to testify on Tuesday. At least 80 people have been killed on Maui as search and rescue operations continue in the resort town of Lahaina. The Kremlin claims Russian forces downed 20 Ukrainian drones over its annexed territory in Crimea. The drone strikes follow similar attacks on Moscow. Plenty of cheers in western New York on Saturday as Buffalo Bills defensive back Damar Hamlin returned to the football field. Hamlin, who suffered a cardiac arrest during a Monday night football game earlier in the year, played his first game in the Bills' preseason opener. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I'm sure you were born to bought me a silk suit and put luggage in my hand. And I woke up high over Albuquerque on a jet to the promised land. I'm working on the people's stage, on the carnival line over to the Golden State.
And we are back live nationwide and all around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi today. Actually, what you're listening to is Elvis Presley with a great song that he recorded called Promised Land about flying on a jet. We have a very exciting guest to have on our show today. He was the first officer on the Lisa Marie. He has a book that's written about him called Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss from Iowa to Elvis. Joining us is Ron Strauss. Hi, Ron. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. Thank you.
About a year or so ago, I was reading somewhere that you lived in Florida, and I told my producer, I said, you got to get a hold of Ron because I need to talk to him about his career with Elvis and in the military. And sure enough, I get a note from Sally Hodel, who's penned this book about you. First of all, I want to thank you for your service in the military and in the Air Force. You've had a remarkable career in the military. You were involved in a hijacking situation in Nicaragua. All of this time that you spent serving our country, but 2 years in the employment of Elvis Presley, is probably one of the most interesting remembrances of your career. How did this whole thing start? Because I know you always wanted to fly an airplane, and you have flown some of the greats, including the Convair 880. How did it start for you?
Well, I started when I went in the Air Force at 17. I started out as an aircraft and engine mechanic on a B-47. And then I worked myself up to crew chief, and then I volunteered for the 141 to fly as flight engineer. And then I got out of the Air Force and took the VA training, and that's where it all started.
I mentioned about being a big fan of the Convair 880. I remember when I was just 11 years old, I took a Constellation, which I'm very proud to say I flew in, out to Arizona with my parents. On the way back, they said, there's a jet you're going to be flying. I said, oh, man, a jet. And I went in that Convair 880. From that day on, I loved that airplane, and you loved it, too.
Yes, I really did. I flew the 880, the 880M, and the 990.
What was the difference between the 880 and the 990?
Well, there was quite a bit of difference. The 880, well, it was a clean wing. It had no slats or anything. And then the 880M, they put the center tank in it, carried about 10,000 pounds, and they had leading edge flaps. And then the 990, that was really a cruiser. We descended at 0.92 Mach.
Wow. The Convair 80, which of course is not in service anymore, they were the Convair's answer to the Boeing 707 and the DC-8 that burned 1,700 gallons per hour of fuel. It took 2,200 gallons just to take off. Elvis bought a used one that was used by Delta Airlines. I think he paid $250,000 for it and then ended up spending $1 million on redecorating it. And you were chosen by Vernon in particular to be the pilot. All the flight records from the time our guest flew that plane are in this book, including the contract that you had with Vernon. When you first got the job, and I know back in the 50s, and you told this to Elvis one time, you weren't an Elvis Presley fan, but you certainly became one after you got this job. What was it like flying the King?
Oh, it was super. I mean, he was a great boss. He treated us super well all the time. Never had a problem at all with him. None whatsoever.
But one of the problems is you were on call, unlike any other commercial pilot in the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. And that had to take a toll on the family, but you always had to be available.
Yes, that's true.
How did your wife handle that? Because you had a family.
She handled it better than most women, I think, could have. Because, you know, I was very disciplined with the kids and the family. When I would leave on a trip, she could handle it no problem at all. No problem.
What about the plane itself? I understand he wanted the bottom silver, like Air Force One, but wasn't able to get it for some reason or another. But he was still afraid of flying. And he made the comment to you one time. He said, look, I still have a fear of this. Don't take orders from anybody. Anybody else saying, let's go no matter what the weather is or what's a minor problem on the airplane. He wanted to be absolutely sure that plane was safe. Was it airworthy because it was an older plane and, of course, airframe had been used several times? Was it a pretty safe airplane?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we had ferried from Wichita to Dallas, Fort Worth, and had the interior ripped apart and redone. And then we flew it to Long Beach and had some maintenance done out there. And then we flew it to Nashville, had some maintenance done there, and it was certified. And then We flew it to Memphis. It was a great airplane. I mean, it was in perfect shape.
I talked to many pilots that I knew over the years, and they said, well, you could always tell when the Lisa Marie was coming in because of the trail that it left. Was it environmentally restricted to some airports, Ron?
No, it wasn't restricted. We could go any place we wanted. Just sometimes we wouldn't take it into the smaller airport, but it did smoke a lot, big time.
Everybody recognizes the name Milo High as being a pilot of Elvis's airplane. He only flew the Hound Dogs, the Jetstreams, never flew the Lisa Marie. It was yourself, Elwood David, and Jim Manny, who was the flight engineer. But you really struck a chord with Elvis a couple of times. The first time was when he asked you if you were a fan of his in the early 50s, and you said, no, not at all. And another time was when he came in with, and this was not uncommon, with a gun in his belt, and you asked him if it was loaded. And he said, why would I carry it if it wasn't? And you said, well, you got to be careful with it because at high altitudes, a pressurized cabin would be in a lot of danger. And he said, you worry about the flying, I'll worry about the gun. He was sensible, but he took risks, did he not?
Oh, he did. And that's true about the gun.
He always came in the cabin to say hello, see if anything was needed. Very cordial gentleman, of course. We all know that. You didn't have that kind of relationship with the colonel. Never said anything to you, did he?
I've never met the colonel. I saw him in Tahoe gambling, but we didn't have anything to do with Parker. We flew him one time from Palm Springs to Tampa, and that was it. But otherwise, we just have nothing to do with him.
Did you ever have any type of emergency on the plane?
Nope, never did.
A great story is when you went for a bank loan. Tell that story, going down to the bank president.
Well, you know, that was pretty cool because, you know, sometimes these jobs work out well and sometimes they don't. It was working out great for me. So I asked Elvis, I said, hey, Elvis, is there anything you would change in the airplane or crew or anything? No, he said, just keep doing exactly the way you are. So then I'd never, ever done any financing with Elvis. It was always with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad talked to Elvis every night. So I went in, I had a stack of bills, and I went into the mansion. And then I asked him, I says, you know, Mr. Presley, would you, is there anything you'd change on the airplane or crew or anything? He said, no, just keep doing exactly like you're doing. Well, I was renting a townhouse, and I decided to, at that time, my wife and I decided to buy a house. So when I talked to Mr. Presley, I asked him, I said, do you know where I could borrow some money? And he says, well, just go down to the bank. Well, I was really wanting him to grease the skids a little bit and call the banker
right,
and tell him I was coming down. But no, he didn't. He said, just go down to the bank and tell him who the hell you are. And I thought, wow, that's strange. So the next day or so, I went down to the bank, walked in, and I said, hey, I'd like to see the president. And he says, well, what about? I said, well, I'd like to borrow some money on a home purchase. And he says, well, Mary Lou or whoever it was does all that. Just go over and see her. And I says, well, no, I really want to see the president. He says, I told you, the president doesn't do the home loans. It's strictly Mary Lou. And I said, would you tell the president that Elvis Presley's pilot is here? So he goes in there, and the bank president yells out, hey, Ron, get in here. Come on in here. So we sat down, and we shot the breeze for about 5 minutes. Then he says, well, I guess you want some money. And I said, yeah. He said, how much you want? And I said, $73,000 or thereabout. And he says, well, how much interest do you want to pay? I said, just as very little as possible. And he said, well, when do you want the money? And I said, well, as quick as I can get it. So he threw this contract over to me. It was a blank sheet, nothing on it except, you know, the first party, the second party, and all that stuff. So then I threw it back at the president. I says, I'm not going to sign that. He says, well, why not? And I says, it's like signing a blank check.
Right.
He says, let me tell you, Ron, Elvis has got a floating checking account with $1 million in it. And he says, a whole bunch more. He says, you think I'm going to risk that for $73,000? I signed the thing, and a couple of days later, he had checked $73,000. That was that.
I think that was a great story. We're going to pause for a second. Our guest, Ron Strauss, he's got a book that was written about him. It's out right now, Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss. From Iowa to Elvis, he flew the Lisa Marie. And Ron and I will be right back with more with Ron Sedgie today.
All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. Douglas is a real Prevagen user and paid testimonialist.
My name is Douglas. I'm 79 and I live in Chicago. I'm a writer, director. I used to be a marathon runner. Now I'm a walker. And the kind of work that I do, you are surrounded by people who are all younger than you. Memory became a factor. As everyone gets older, where did I put my keys? But I had to get help to stay competitive. I happened across Prevagen, and I started taking it. I saw myself having an improved memory, which at the same time, I felt better about myself. I could not be doing what I'm doing today had it not been for Prevagen.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Prevagen is available in stores everywhere. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We're back. It's Ron Segi today. My guest is here, Ron Strauss. He was the first officer on the Lisa Marie, Elvis Presley's private airplane. He did it for just a tad under 2 years, between 1975 and 1977, upon the untimely death of Elvis. Ron, you were flying out to Hawaii one time, and you asked my buddy, Joe Esposito, if your wife could go with you because there were four empty seats on the plane. And I can picture Joe saying, I spent millions of hours with him, those seats are filled from Oakland all the way out to Hawaii. A little later on, when you were in flight, Elvis comes up into the cockpit and he asks if everything's all right, and you said okay, but he asked you, what about your wife? Tell that story.
Well, it was pretty neat. You know, when we found out we were going to Hawaii, I called Joe and I says, hey, Joe, can I take my wife on this trip? And he says, well, he says, you can, but he says, the problem, you know, the airplane originally, I guess, would carry 120 passengers. When Elvis got done with it, it would only carry 29 passengers. And he says, there's four open seats out of Memphis, but he says, at Oakland, we're overbooked. And I says, well, are you sure? And he says, oh, I'm positive. Well, there was four open seats out of Oakland. That's where we stopped and picked up fuel. So halfway to Honolulu, Elvis comes in the cockpit. Hey, how's it going, gang? And I says, well, the weather's good. We'll be there in 2.5 hours or thereabouts. Everything's going good. No problem. He says, Ron, I understand you're a little bit, well, I won't use the words he used. So I'll say ticked off.
Okay.
And I says, no, Elvis, I'm fine. No problem at all. No, he says, I'm madder than hell. He says, your wife, Betty, should be on this flight. And I says, oh, maybe we'll catch you next time. No. He says, have her out here tomorrow. I'm paying first class airline ticket. Memphis to Honolulu to Memphis. No problem at all. And I says, no, Elvis, I'm not going to do that. And he says, well, let me ask you something. He says, do you like flying for me? I says, yes, sir. He says, I told you, none of this service stuff.
Right.
It's Elvis and Ron. That's it. And I said, okay. And he says, do I pay you enough? And I says, yep, no problem. He says, well, let me tell you something. If she's not out here tomorrow, I'll replace your butt. Well, I wasn't going to take the chance. So I called her and I told her, I says, hey, pack your bags. Elvis is paying for everything. First class airline ticket. She walked up, got reservations, of course, that night. She flew first class from Memphis nonstop to Honolulu. And she spent 4 or 5 days out there, and then she had to get back to her job and the kids. So a first class airline ticket all the way back, because we didn't know when we were coming. So we came back, I don't know, 5 days thereabouts after she did. And Elvis came in the cockpit, same thing. He says, hey, did Betty enjoy her stay in Honolulu? I says, oh, absolutely, and thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And he says, nothing's too good for my troops. So I got back to Memphis, and I went to the mansion. I had a stack of bills. I was talking to Vernon. Went through each one, you know, pay this, pay that. And then I had this airline ticket, and I was really bashful, I guess, about giving it to him because it was expensive. So I gave it to Vernon. He says, Nancy, just pay him. And I says, but Mr. Presley, don't you want to look at that? No. He says, I already talked to Elvis. No problem. Pay him. And he did. Wrote me out a check. He did. She gave it to me.
I'm sure Joe E. got hell for that one.
Yeah. Well, Joe was a great guy. He treated us fantastic.
He is. He flew cross-country one time to be at a surprise birthday party from Las Vegas, where he was living at the time, to Orlando, Florida. Now, Joe's the best. I'm looking at a picture of him, me, and Elvis on my wall right now.
Oh, good.
How come you were selected of the flight crew to deal with Vernon? Because he could be pretty stingy at times, could he not?
Oh, he could. He was tight as he could be. Well, that's just the way it was. I mean, I worked entirely with Vernon. Never with Elvis on finance. Yeah. Never.
You were at Graceland the day that Elvis passed away. You were there in the morning, again, back in the office behind the mansion, getting some bills paid with Vernon, and he was in poor health. And then you went out and took a little ride on the go-kart and saw something very unusual, and that was Vernon being helped back to the mansion. And you thought that he looked very, very drawn and ill until you got home. Tell us about that, Ron.
We were going to Portland, Maine that night. Well, when I got the bills paid by Vernon, and then I went out and I was driving Alice's go-kart. I asked him, you know, months before that, if we could drive that. And he says, absolutely. And he had some wicked go-karts. Boy, they were wicked. And I was out driving those and having a blast. Then I thought, well, it's time to go home and get some sleep because tonight may turn into a very long night. And so then I saw Nancy escorting Vernon into the mansion. And I guess at that time they told him about Elvis. And then I went home, and my daughter met me at the door, and she's just crying big time. Elvis died. No, it's probably Vernon. Well, I was wrong.
Could you see it coming, Ron? Joe used to tell me, and James Burton, his guitar player, would say, you saw him getting ill for a long time. It was Elvis. He was too big to die. Did you see it coming?
you know, Elvis put on some weight on the end, but we didn't see it coming at all. It was a complete shock to me.
It was a shock to everybody. You know, when you're there all the time, seeing somebody fail in health isn't quite as obvious as people that don't see someone for long lengths of time. That's why I asked you that question, because you literally saw him virtually every day, especially when you were touring.
We did see him frequently when we were touring. We saw him just about every day, but I didn't see that coming at all. It was a total shock to me.
You were asked to stay on after he passed away, and you declined. Why was that, Ron? I'm sure the excitement of doing it with Elvis was gone.
After a couple of weeks or so after his death, I had a visit with Vernon and got some bills all straight. And I told him I'd gotten hired back with the airlines. And he says, I want you to stay employed here for at least a year, and I'll pay you the same amount. And I says, no, thank you, Mr. Presley. I said, don't send me any checks, because if you do, I'll just tear them up. I'm going back with the airlines in a couple of weeks, and that's it. But I said, I'll spend, you know, a year here, and I'll help you, but I won't accept any pay for it.
Elvis liked your yellow Corvette. Did he ever buy you a car?
No, but I bought that yellow Vette, which I still have, and I bought it with the tips he gave me.
Christmas bonuses. Ron, I could talk to you for hours, and the name of the book is Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss, from a small little town there, Fonda, Iowa, to Elvis Presley piloting as the first officer of the Convair 880, the Lisa Marie, probably the second most famous plane in the United States, the first being Air Force One, and then Lisa Marie, which is on display across the street from Graceland. And that plane really wasn't ready to fly when you ferried it back to Memphis because it needed some instruments, and so you had a ferry permit and you had to fly low, but that was a very unique experience, knowing that that was the last time that puppy was going to be in the air.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to come back and chat more, you are always welcome here. Get the book called Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss, from Iowa to Elvis. Ron, thank you for joining us.
Hello. Thanks. My pleasure, Ron.
And there's more to come with Ron Sedgie today.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart?
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
That wraps up hour number one of Ron Sedgie today on our special remembrance to Elvis Presley. Coming up this Wednesday, August 16th, will mark 46 years since his passing. And my guest this first hour, author Sally Hodell with the book Destined to Die Young, and Captain Ron Strauss, the pilot for the Lisa Marie, with a book that he has out called From Iowa to Elvis. Next hour, Hal Lansky from the Lansky Brothers Clothing Store, responsible for Elvis's wardrobe the first 20 years of his life. And then Julian Garr's got a book out called 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And that's coming up next hour with Ron Sedgy today.
Douglas is a real Prevagen user and paid testimonialist.
My name is Douglas. I'm 79 and I live in Chicago. I'm a writer, director. I used to be a marathon runner. Now I'm a walker. In the kind of work that I do, you are surrounded by people who are all younger than you. Memory became a factor. As everyone gets older, where did I put my keys? But I had to get help to stay competitive. I happened across Prevagen, and I started taking it. I saw myself having an improved memory, which at the same time, I felt better about myself. I could not be doing what I'm doing today had it not been for Prevagen.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Prevagen is available in stores everywhere. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.